Welcome to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody After the Show podcast.
We mentioned today in Three Things to Know that, I mean, I know you know this, it's world news, that King Charles has been diagnosed with cancer. And he discovered this. This was discovered by doctors when he was being treated for an enlarged prostate. But that doesn't mean it's prostate cancer.
No, and they're not being specific about what kind of cancer right. It is, which is fine. That's his privacy.
It is. That's why I wanted to bring it back up, because it's like, you know, you start reading online and he's a public figure. His mm-hmm. whole life he has been a public figure and a public servant, and we've talked about him forever. But, you know, as someone like that in the public eye for a lifetime, you expect to know a lot about them. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is he has every right to keep specifics about his cancer as private as he wants. It's a delicate, you know, balance that they try to keep. The royals know it too, that they need to give somewhat of themselves, but they also have a right to keep. Think about it. If you were diagnosed with something, do you want everyone to know every little specific about what you're facing? Mm-hmm. You don't.
Yeah, in his case, he wants the public to be aware mm-hmm. that early detection of anything is helpful.
Right.
And everything they've said is they're optimistic that they caught whatever this is early enough. So yeah. He's shared just enough to share and provide advice to other people mm-hmm. to say, look, this kind of stuff can happen later in life. Get yourself mm-hmm. checked if you haven't been checked and that right. sort of thing.
So so much rushes my brain lately with any royal story. When I was growing up, I didn't care much about the royals. I knew who Princess Diana was.
Yeah.
Because I was a little girl. And this princess got married on TV. And my mother stopped the day for it.
I think that was when it came into the current, you mm-hmm. know, when it rejuvenated interest in the monarchy.
Right.
It was when Diana.
She did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because ever since
Diana,
it's Diana, it's William, it's Harry, it's all that stuff.
Right. And then, you know, what's so interesting is that doing what we do here with a show and Hollywood Outsider and trying to kind of stay up on pop culture slowly but surely. And then, you know, when William got married to Kate and Murphy and I watching The Crown, it's like now I am interested in all of this. And I'm not sorry to say I find it fascinating.
What particular parts?
The history of the family and the fact that they are still royalty, and yet times are so different. Mm-hmm. I don't know what percentage of the population in England, in the UK, don't want them, you know, to be a royal thing anymore. But I think it's awesome. I think it's cool.
Yeah. What I was reading is it's not out of fashion right now. It's about 35 or 40% that believe that the monarchy is mm-hmm. outdated. It's not that they want to abolish it necessarily. But it also brings in so much tourism revenue every year right. that it pays for itself. And so cool. It would be, if you got rid of the monarchy there, I think you change what England is all about. You know
kind
what I mean?
Known for.
Yeah.
Right?
So I guess anything is possible, but it just doesn't seem like the kind of thing to me that would go by the wayside.
No.
And
hold
also,
on to
you
history.
Know, since this announcement with King Charles, the headlines are really, I don't know how much of a reading you've done, you know, on it or not, especially like the BBC.
A few things.
Where everything is detailed right now about his history from birth to now. Oh. And it's interesting to read that too, because his legacy is not just his legacy. His legacy is really marrying Diana and the birth of the children and the divorce, the very public mm-hmm. divorce, the very public book that came out and basically talking about all of his extramarital affairs and all those kinds of things that rocked the monarchy mm-hmm. in the 90s, which I didn't remember that being that significant as it was, but it was.
Because you weren't paying attention to it.
I guess not.
Right.
But, you know, but we definitely got refocused again when William and Kate got married.
Yes.
I mean, it created mm-hmm. that entire, you know, fervor again.
I watched that wedding. I got up early and watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the Queen's passing, and Philip, Prince Philip, mm-hmm. Garnered a lot of attention again, too. She was the longest reigning monarch probably in history, or the second longest in history, or whatever.
See, I don't know. I don't remember that.
Maybe
I can't
the longest
quote
in
it.
England.
I couldn't teach it.
Definitely the longest in England. I think second longest overall or something along uh-huh. those lines. But it takes one of those iconic events to generate international interest. But I think within the UK itself, I mean, it is part, if you live in London, you know, Buckingham Palace is right there.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's
right.
It's part of the landscape. It's part of the culture.
And I know it's not cool to say. It's not, but everybody knows that it's a fact that William is next in line.
Yeah.
And I hope that Charles lives a very long life, like his mother, like it is in his genes to possibly live a very long time. But it's just interesting. And I saw these stories today, too, and I thought, this is wrong, and I can't stop reading it. I felt that way. I'm like, this is horrible, but I can't stop. So William would become king, will become king one day when his father passes away, which is a weird thing, right? You lose a parent and then you gain what you were born for.
Yeah.
That's what another reason it's fascinating. Kate, Princess of Wales, becomes queen or queen consort. Queen Camilla then becomes Dowager Queen. Prince George would be second in line to the throne.
Yeah.
And most likely the Prince of Wales is what he would be called then.
Right.
And then Prince Harry, that puts him fifth in line, which he's always been,
that's why he's spare.
That's why he's spare. But it's just so interesting to me. Just like, it's so funny that I went down this rabbit hole today after reading a 30-second headline and sharing a 30-second headline on our show that he has been diagnosed with cancer.
It's easy to do. That's what I was talking about. Most of the headlines are all of that, about the history of the monarchy and, you know, how what the order is and all of those things. That's the conversation. Mm-hmm. And that part of that conversation is exactly what happened when the queen passed away and the explanation of, again, how the successions work.
Right.
And they actually even went into that in the Crown over time. There were laws that changed that females were skipped over depending on...
So you always had a king.
Well, it wasn't always a king. It was, I forget what the... What was it? The female, in the lineage, the next in line, a daughter.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, Charles's sister, Anne, was not going to be anywhere in line for the throne whatsoever. And something has changed there. Because she's a sister. Right, exactly.
But and she's still a daughter of royalty. That's weird. And
yeah, I know.
The queen was a daughter of royalty.
Yeah, yeah. And again,
I don't understand that.
I don't know what it is. Of course, our version of that, came from the crown.
But fascinating, because I could literally study it now, is what I'm saying. It's also surprising to me. Isn't it nice when you surprise yourself in your life and you think you're not interested in something, and then times change and you get introduced to new things or for whatever reason? You know, maybe you grow up a little bit and you realize, oh, it's not just pompous. It's not just, it's history, and they are public servants and they're born into it. And fascinating to me that some of them seem to do fine and thrive in it, and other ones struggle in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I think it also sticks out because monarchies are, they are a thing of the past for the most part.
Right.
There are not that many. You still have a handful around the world, and even those governments are set up in a slightly different way. They all have their nuances. But I think that also is what makes it stick out, because the thought of something that, you know, is a birthright is just a very different, not a modern concept.
It is not,
right?
Correct.
But that's not a reason to get rid of it, because it's not modern, but I'm sure it's going to face its share of challenges as it goes along. And, you know, each successor is going to have their own approach. Prince Charles is, I say Prince Charles, it's so
King Charles, it's hard to say it,
because he was prince for so long,
right.
But you know, King Charles, it was one of those that wanted the monarchy to be more open, more approachable, and Diana really kind of forced a hand on that, and all that changed for the monarchy to be, you know, more publicly accessible, a greater show of emotion when it's appropriate for the country, and all of those kinds of things. I'm sure by the time William takes the throne, it's going to be more of the same. He absolutely will bring it more up to date.
He will.
In some way or respect.
And he'll still bring that thing that he brings, which is the familiarity of him looking like his mother.
Yeah.
I think William may actually bring it more to the masses.
Correct.
You know, because as adults, you know, he was our kid. He was everybody's little baby when, you know, Diana had him. We all grew up with him as a baby. And I just think he's probably going to have more progressive.
We'll be paying closer attention, too.
Yes, yeah.
Correct.
Missed any part of the show? Get it all on the Murphy, Sam & Jody podcast.